This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hello, everyone. Great to see all of you. Great to see all the energy. Great to see a lot of friends and familiar faces. I'm gonna let these two wonderful gentlemen introduce themselves, and then we'll talk about what big brands are thinking about in this time and special place that we're all in. This is just a remarkable costume that has me fired up. Richard, maybe you can start.
Hi everyone, my name's Richard Oppy. I work at AB.
That's another one. Richard, good. Another one, in that chair.
Todd, you want to go first?
I'll go. That works. Everyone, Todd Kaplan, I lead marketing for Pepsi here.
Yep, that's good. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, Richard Oppy, sorry about that. I work at AB Fair, so I work across Budweiser, Corona, Stella, Clark, and Club Ultra.
So when I look around this audience, especially because I've been in the community, it's a little harder than it was in Web 2.0 when everyone actually used their face as their avatar, and now we have very different things. But I have a good sense of a lot of entrepreneurship, a lot of creative energy in the room. From a big brand perspective, Todd, when you first heard about NFTs, you know, as a dude, and I think you're very on the pulse, both of you are, hence why I wanted you here, but how did it first land? Did you have the cynical point of view of like, I don't get it, like why would somebody own it? Did it immediately hit? Where did you go the first time you kind of understood this thing is happening?
Yeah, I think like all of you here, you know, you see the potential for it. You see, you know, hey, this will be the DMV years from now, the ticket, all the different applications of the technology. But then you also look at it, again, as a marketer, consumer first, and I look at the experience right now that it's so early days. The consumer experience is actually pretty clunky, right? You gotta register for a digital wallet, you gotta give all this personal information, you got gas fees, you got all this conversion, all these steps that as this begins to tip, that will hopefully all converge and become much more used. But as a brand, we gotta get deeper into it and really understand kind of the intricacies and why people are doing it. We're starting to really, you know, delve into the space, so.
Richard, how about for you?
Yeah, I think when first was spoken to about it, I was a little bit cynical, you know? I didn't know enough about it. And so I was curious, and the more I learned, the more I realized, this is gonna be a powerful brand leader for us to better connect with our people in the future. If I think about the evolution of Bitcoin, is 20 years ago when I started, it was very much one-way communication to people, traditional advertising, traditional sponsorship. And then the last 15 years of the rise of social media, you know, people are blocking out traditional media. And so our opportunities are now more two-way relationship with people. And that's great, because we're building stronger connections with our fans. I think this takes it another level even further. And it actually gives our fans potential at a level of ownership of our brands. And whether that is part of our heritage, whether that's part of our memorabilia, or even part of experiences that we can provide them, because we have access, and you know, to some of the greatest sponsorship properties. We've got World Cup, we've got Super Bowl, we've got, you know, NBA, and so we have access to amazing opportunities and experiences that we can provide our fans with. So that's what I'm getting quite excited about.
To Richard's point, Todd, will I be able to, in the future, buy a token that allows me to perform in the Pepsi halftime Super Bowl show? I can't sing for shit.
If you can't sing for shit, then maybe not. But I would say, you know, that idea of what I love is the connection to real life experiences. When you think of the idea of brands and how people connect to different brands, and I think as you were saying, the different affinities people have, sports, music, entertainment, you know, the utility that it gets in your everyday life, there's a ton of possibilities as we look at kind of how we would want to connect with consumers in this space. And so I think we're trying to be really, you know, think about it the right way and not just rush in and just say, hey, here's an NFT, look, we did one, but really strategically figure out what's kind of the long play, you know, how do we want to get into space authentically? How do we want to really just 1, 2, 3 and kind of step into it? Because I think, to your point, while there, of course, is money to be made and there's a whole transactional piece, you know, as far as brand building as well, that's that's another big benefit to us as well, beyond kind of the financial, you know, piece as well. When you look at the scale, that's actually even more beneficial to us in the near term.
Given that both of you were in the marketing game, I think, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure about this, when social Web 2 happened, 2006, 7, 5, 8, is there anything that you think, you touched on this, Richard, is there any, do you have more confidence that you can enter the space more authentically because you learned through the trials and tribulations of that hard transition from Web 1 to Web 2, traditional media to social? Do you feel the companies of your size have more confidence of, hey, this is what happened and we misplayed social if we look back at 6 and 7? Do you feel that gives you a leg up to play 3 better than 2?
I really do. I think it just makes so much sense to me. Yeah. Even more so than at the very start of 2.0. You know, and the reason I say that is, yeah, if we look at, I look at, say, Budweiser, we've got people that love the Budweiser brand, that tattoo that brand on their body. Yeah. That absolutely love it. I mean, I can see us, you know, creating, for example, these people collect their cans. They've collected their cans for years and years. It just makes sense to me. Why would we take that and bridge the gap from like the physical world to the digital world? And imagine giving them a digital camp, you know, over time. And you could have a number of different camps, you could have different assets and different values depending on what can you have. So I just look at that, it just makes so much sense, you know, bringing that in to the metaverse.
You know, I think just to answer your question too, I look at the parallels from, I remember when the big first, you know, Web 2.0 happened and all this, and just, there were a lot of executives and people in the company who are like, they're saying something bad about us on Facebook. Do we really like? It's like, you clearly don't get it, right? So it's, how do you educate, when you think of the disruption that's happened and how quickly, the fact that TikTok is only a few years old, the fact that all these things are coming so quickly, I think there's an acknowledgement from a lot of the big companies like ours that, shit, we don't know, but we know this is going to be a thing, so let's hunker down, let's get our legal team, our finance team, how the hell do we convert a narrative, you know, like, all of that stuff that just big companies have to wrestle with, but I think there's a lot more willingness to kind of dive in than I'd say some of the early days stuff.
Given that it's Pepsi and Budweiser, Super Bowl, World Cup, halftime show, how is this framework going to affect the way you look at sponsorships, and maybe even more importantly, how you look at the humans that you do brand deals with?
I think that's the key. We're thinking about it now very differently. And instead of thinking of sponsorships with traditional signage, traditional IP, I mean, we don't have a brand awareness problem on Budweiser. I'm sure Todd probably doesn't want to see that. So I think the value for us is how we can provide greater experience and access to our community. And in doing so, I'm much more interested in money can't buy experiences that we can get through our sponsorship properties, access to players, you know, even be able to have lunch with a player, half an hour on a Zoom with a player. Like, I would rather spend a lot more of our money and time getting our fans closer to the action, closer to their favorite team, closer to their favorite sportsman, being able to get them to take them to a music event, take them backstage. Like, I think that's where the opportunity lies in the future.
I think even in the, as you're saying, the deal structure piece of it all as well, in the back, right now, as you look at brands, if we're making a TV commercial, if we're signing someone, it's a transactional one way. I'm gonna pay person X, they're gonna provide Y service, we're gonna both hopefully benefit in that regard. This is a game changer to a partnership where it's like, hey, we can both come out of this, you know, both building equity, making money, doing, you know, positive things for consumers, all in the same way if we build it correctly together. So I do think there's gonna be a future where, you know, it's more of a symbiotic relationship as we get to partners and things like that.
What about for a lot of people in this audience who are smaller artists or entrepreneurs? Do you feel like this is a time where, as brands try to enter and look for authenticity or try to find their way, that for people here that may dream to do business with brands of this size because they have the knowledge and the context for the space, Is this an opportune time for them to dream and kind of try to reach out and do things? Or is because it's new, there's a little bit more fear with big brand and a smaller entrepreneur artist might be a liability? Is it a pro or is it a con?
I think it's a big pro.
I didn't ask you.
I think it's a big pro. There's two things you touched on there, Garrett. One is authenticity. Now, this is, and Todd touched on it, but we've been working on this for minimum 6 months.
Yeah.
And we haven't even really gone out here yet. We're trying to build sustainable business models. We're not in this game to make a quick buck. You know, we sell beer, that's how we make money. This is our opportunity to have a good connection with our community. So authenticity is the key. And then in terms of up and coming artists, I think that's the opportunity. I think this actually democratizes and gives the little person the opportunity. And if they set themselves up the right way, you know, it only takes that one soundbite upload, just their sound player. You know, then you can then set it up the right way and benefit. You just need people to believe in you. And I think as brands, you know, we're going to be interested in not just the big guys, since to be honest, they're creating their own stuff already. We're more interested in supporting the rookies and those that are up and coming.
Todd, anything to add?
Yeah, I'll just say I completely agree. The only thing I would add is that it's, as you think about a big brand sitting in this space, it's also often difficult because there's so many new entrants coming in every day to know 10 years from now who's left standing. Right? Who are the real, we saw this recently with AR, when that was the new hot shit everyone was doing. It's like, hey, we can do a thing, and it's like, some can do it better than others, some might not. And so that's the thing that's, I think, because it's so early days, a little difficult, but I do believe, to your point, seeing all the energy, the creativity coming in from all the different projects, all the different creators, is really inspiring as a brand. It's something we're definitely looking forward
to. To try to bring some value for the people in this room, how realistic, I'm just wondering my damn self, how realistic is somebody who's starting a fresh new project, an intellectual property, a PLP, characters, how realistic is it for them to show up on your product in a world where the amount of fucking Budweiser cans and Pepsi cans and bottles in the world is extraordinary? It's so much awareness and impressions. We're all accustomed to seeing a LeBron or a Transformers or a Pokemon on the product. Is it even, and by the way, don't bullshit them. Like in real talk, is it even possible for someone to dream here because they're smart enough to realize, wait a minute, these big guys need the authenticity. I need people to know about my fucking clever penguin. You know, like, is that something that somebody can dream of, or is that, am I a little too optimistic?
I think you're a little bit too optimistic. And the reason I say that
these fucking
is
guys.
You can't come from nothing.
It's fair.
But at the end of the day, we're building brands, it has to be authentic. Whatever we do has to feel right for this brand. You know, like a Budweiser,
and I'm sorry to interrupt, Rich. Is it just that their brand would be too young for you to fully know at this point?
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to make it, but if it's unknown completely, like, what the hell is this? You know, like, and you can't just get stupidly drawn. They need to have proved themselves as a rookie. I bet on a rookie that's going to make it, as opposed to a no-one.
But here's where I'd say, though, it's not just the project. But then, you know, you can take Board Ape, something highly successful, something that everybody knows, but like the penetration of this category in the US and globally is still, we are super early days, right? When you think of a household brand like Pepsi, we're in 90%+ of households are, you know, at least once a year. Like the scale and scope, you know, we have people, think of your parents, they're still like, what the hell is an NFT? How does this work? How do I get Ethereum? There's so many things that are so new that I think to go at that level of like turbo scale, I think it will happen at some point. I don't know that we're there yet. I think we're still a little early days, but I think it will happen.
What about on a personal level? Like, where are you, like, have you, did you need to like figure it out? Did you like give away your seed phrase to somebody by accident? Like, on a personal level, like, where are you on your journeys? Done?
I'll give you that. So I'm playing the penny slots right now, as I call it. I'm just kind of getting my feet wet in the space. And definitely, as I shared earlier, it was a big learning even just to set up the wallet and get in there and figure out which projects is there. Some were, I got burned. I've been on a lookalike of some stupid shit that I thought was going to be really, as you get in there, you go through it all. But it's actually, to me, that's the most valuable learning. You know, putting myself in consumer shoes and trying to really empathize with what is really happening in the space, seeing the trends. And it's been awesome. I'm continuing to get into it more.
On a human level, one personally, Gary said this thing to me a while ago that just clicked and made a lot of sense. He said, I think your digital wallet is going to be the new social currency. And I thought a lot about that. I actually think it's more than that. I think it's actually welcoming people into your home. And that sounds a bit crazy. What I mean by that is, you didn't get to know me 20 years ago, you had to spend physical time with me. The last 15 years, if you're a friend or an acquaintance, you get to know that I love spending time with my family, I love my sport, I love traveling, I love fishing, and you get to see what I'm doing, so you get to know me. Yeah. But this is a whole other level. I'm welcoming you into your home than you are, because you come to my house, you can see my artwork, you can see that in my digital wallet. You can see the memorabilia that I've collected over the years. You're going to see that in the digital wallet. You're going to see the charities that I support. You're going to see that in my digital wallet. And you're going to see the brands that I love. And the brands, and open my wardrobe, so you get to see which brands I love. And that's our opportunity. Because we don't just want to get brands in the future to everybody's homes. I want to get our brands into as many wallets as possible.
I think your take there is really right. It's a lot easier for us to take photos to tell the world what we want them to know. If we know what you're buying, it's a dramatically real indicator to what you're about. And I actually think that's why we had that convo, and I think you're right. What do you feel when you see this energy? Like what's, as you've been taking in kind of just being here, just even watching, like for me, I'll jump in where I'm going with that question. As I sit here and I'm doing this interview, this is exactly what I felt like in 2006 and 7 at South by Southwest about web, because it was almost like there was a lot of curiosity and optimism in the room, because I know you guys focus on the consumer. And I think the point you made that I think a lot of people should hear is, when you have the responsibility that you two have in running brands of this size, you do have to care about scale. When you see the kernel of the future in all these pretty faces, what comes to mind as, oh shit, I need to take this back home, and we really need to think about this, that, or the other thing. Anything stand out?
I'd say what I mean, excitement, hope, you know, just the energy, you know, just walking around the floor, seeing, hearing conversations, meeting folks. I mean, the energy is unlike anything else, right? And the fact that it is a, you know, people who are in, you know, are all, right? It's not like a hobby, right? For all of you in this room, there's many of you who are creators, who are really, you know, invested in this. And I think it's inspiring to see as a big company knowing, like, this is a space where we're going to continue to start to play, and just to see this is where the future, you know, the future is, so.
Let's go!
Nice!
Yeah, I'm super excited to see everyone here, the energy here. It's obviously been a big week. And you know, as I said, I was a bit skeptical at first, but curious. The more I've gone deeper into understanding, and I'm a novice, I don't know a tenth of what all you guys know, but as I thought about understanding the blockchain and how that works, and how that, you know, just the decentralization, the security, the transparency, end to end, we're starting to see the theory start, the impact it's going to have in the banking industry. I think real estate's going to be next. You're going to cut out the middlemen. You're going to cut out all those fees. And I just see this is going to be a huge opportunity. While small today, it's going to be massive longer term. So as a brand, we have to start betting on the future. We're just going to be smart as parts of how we do that, what channels we go big in at the start. And that's going to be the thing.
Well, and that just to build on that, I think right now, if you look at kind of the center of gravity in the space, it's really around the art, the collectible, the, you know, it's almost like it went to the card space years ago when that was sort of popping and all that. When you look at the future though of this, the utility, right, as you think about the actual things in your life that could be in your digital wallet, that could be an NFT, that should be, frankly, like your medical records, like your DMV, like all that stuff. It's even your vax card. How horrible is it to carry around a freaking piece of paper? You know, it's like the most analog thing. Like, all this stuff, that's where it's going. And so I also want to make sure everyone here is not just, you know, into the game right now. There's the long play. That's where it's all going.
And for us, it's not just marketing, it's not just financing the crypto, even our procurement team.
Supply chain,
our barley, where we connect it end to end, having that transparency and having the smart contracts on the back, it's a game changer.
I think in wrapping up, the thing that really stands out for me in the difference of Web 2 and Web 3 with brands is in Web 2, everyone in the audience was building on top of communication, not consumerization, right? So it was about how we communicated. So when brands came in, there was a lot of pushback because it was corporate, it was business. In this space, unless you're a hypocrite, I think we can all agree, which I think is a vulnerability for our space right now, way too much energy is about the financial part. If you look very carefully, people are, 80% of the fuckers in this space right now are day trading digital assets. And so, what's interesting, there's nothing wrong with that. I love a good garage sale. But what it does is actually gives brands subconscious more room to do things. Because most people realize they're having a lot of business DNA in what they're doing as well. And if brands play it right, they can benefit from that a lot more than what happened in 06 when it was a completely different conversation. And I think that lends itself to a lot of opportunity for YouTube, but very honestly, I think that lends itself to a huge opportunity to all of you. And even though Todd and Richard kind of painted a very true picture to you, which I appreciated, of like how big of a leap that has to be for you to JV with a brand of this size, much like I've told you in the content about getting to influencers on DM, I still believe that this is so hot and there's so much momentum that there's somebody who literally launched a project 3 weeks ago that can make a JV with a national bubblegum brand or a cereal brand. And I hope this gave you some insight to how they're thinking, which is why I wanted to do this panel, to just give a little context. And I hope everybody here has a tremendous time this week. And I hope everybody follows my Twitter tonight, because I'm throwing a secret wine party, which I haven't done in a decade. I've got a fuckload of wine. I have no idea where I'm doing it. And as soon as I find a spot, I'm tweeting it out. So I hope I see every one of you fucking people tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you.